Finally, it's downhill. I can go as fast as I can to get away from this thing. But it continued the entire way down this hill, almost till I got to my friend's house at the very bottom. I'm sure it was out to get me. Has anyone felt like that when being attacked by a magpie? They've just got something against you sometimes. Well, I got to my friend's house. I was exhausted. My heart's racing a million miles an hour. I'm terrified. And I was like, that's okay, I'm here. I can go and forget about this magpie for a while. I can, hopefully it will go see someone else and forget about me. I knock on her door, nobody's home. Suddenly I'm gonna have to face this fear a lot sooner than I thought I was going to. But I wanted to put it off a bit longer. I waited another 10, 15 minutes just to see. I was really hoping that she would come home. She didn't. So I decided, okay, it's time to put my big girl pants on and go and face this thing. And I'm thinking about strategies. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go to the edge. I'll put my helmet on. I'm just gonna have a peek to see where it might come from so I'm prepared. And as I look out, this magpie is sitting at the top of the hill in the center of the road, just staring at me waiting. Suddenly all my courage was gone. So I did the only thing that made logical sense in my 10-year-old brain. I decided, I know the girl next door. I'm just gonna go spend some time with her and put off this problem a bit longer. And when it came time to go home, more fear had grown. And so I tried to convince her parents to drive me home. They had a ute. Even if you don't drive me home, just drive me past where the magpie is, please. And I remember them having a little bit of a chuckle because they tried to convince me that I'd be fine. They're like, you have a helmet on your head. Your head is protected. It's okay. But you see, even though I had a helmet to protect my head, the battle was already lost in my mind. And I'm so thankful that there's another helmet that we have access to, the helmet of salvation. But how often do we forget that we have access to it? Forget that it holds power. Forget our identity and lose the battle in our minds simply due to fear and taunts of the enemy. When I was looking into the helmet of salvation, God brought to mind David and Goliath. Goliath was defeated with a stone to the forehead. And it got me thinking, I don't think that's a coincidence how the battle was won. I don't think that's a coincidence how he was defeated. You see, they weren't even actually engaged in a physical battle yet. All Goliath had to do was walk out a couple of times a day and shout some taunts. And everyone would go running in fear. There's a battle of our minds, a battle of fear and identity that the enemy would love us to engage in. Sorry. He knows he's already lost the battle, but he tries to keep us from that victory with fear and intimidation and lies against our identity. And I believe that lies against our identity is one of the biggest, if not the biggest tactic of the enemy. But when we know our identity, when we're clothed with the helmet of salvation, we realize that truth, that we are clothed in his identity, that like David, we can pick up our stone and take down the lies of the enemy. So if you're taking notes today, my sermon is called The Stone That Stops With Me. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, I just thank you that you are here in our midst. I thank you that even though some things may seem like Goliaths in our mind, Lord, we are crowned with the helmet of salvation. We are clothed in your identity, Lord God. Lord, I pray today that you would break out down strongholds of our minds. I pray that you would release identity over each and every person here, and that we would be able to rise up in courage and say, no more will the enemy have ground in my life. No more will the enemy have ground in the life of my family and the generations to come, but I'm picking up my stone, I'm putting on my helmet of salvation, and I'm saying that the stone stops with me today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So the story picks up in 1 Samuel 17. The Philistines now mustered their army for battle, and they camped between Soko in Judah and Azekah in Ephesdenim. And Saul countered by gathering his troops on the opposite hills with the valley in between them. Then Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. And down to verse 8, Goliath stood and shouted taunts across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." And when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and went running. It got me thinking that the Philistines approached first. One would think that because they approached first, they would have attacked by now. But you see, there was no need for them to actually engage in that physical battle because they were already winning through fear and taunts alone. God wants to kill the lies of the enemy that are coming against you, trying to keep you in that place of fear. We need to know that our identity. Can we get the next slide up, please? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. If we don't know our identity, we're going to stay in that place of fear and never step into the abundant life that God has already given us. And I love the way that the Passion Translation talks about the helmet of salvation. If we can. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. That embrace, you know, it means to hold close to. We need to hold close to the identity that Jesus has given us. We need to trust that when Jesus died and rose, and we then accepted the gift of salvation, that all he speaks over us is true, and embrace it with confidence. The story continues. As David was down there talking to them, he'd gone down to check on his brothers. I have brothers, I get it. They need checking in on your brothers, people. And he was talking to them and Goliath came out and David heard him shout his usual taunt. How often are the taunts of the enemy just the same old thing, yet we fall for it over and over again? They ran away in fright, but I love David's response. He says, "Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" And he goes on to say that he's defeated bears, he's defeated lions. And so this is nothing compared to what God can do. Even though this was Saul's giant, it was never actually David's giant to face. David was confident in his identity. So he was willing to take on this giant so that others wouldn't need to. There are giants that you may be facing, lies against you that may feel like Goliaths, that were never yours to face, but through the generations who've come before and been held back by fear or left doors open, they've now become yours to face. Lies against your identity that have been spoken over you when you were young, lies that others believed themselves in their own misunderstanding of their identity, so they spoke it over you. My second point is the giants that we choose not to face today, they don't become giants that you escaped because you think you managed to avoid them, but they become the giants that your children and your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, and the generations to come are going to be left to face. And I love the quote, "It ran in my family until it ran into me." We have the opportunity to embrace our identity and help the future generations also embrace their identity. And it's part of why I love kids ministry so much, because we get to be with these wonderful young people. We get to teach them their identity as children of God, that when the enemy comes, they're already equipped with their helmet of salvation. Our wonderful leaders get to impart truth and boldness into them, that they can stand firm knowing not just who they are, but whose they are. And I'm so thankful to all of you parents who bring your children. I'm thankful, even though some weeks I'm sure it may seem difficult, I'm thankful that they are here in the house of the Lord, growing in their identity of God. I'm thankful for our leaders who impart into them, and all our family who impart into our children, helping them to know their identity. And I feel incredibly blessed that I get to be a part of that. And I remember when I began in kids ministry, the enemy tried to come at me with taunts. He tried to convince me that I was not equipped enough, that I wasn't experienced enough, that I'd only been walking with the Lord again for a year. I'd only been reading my Bible for a year. Some of these kids have known their Bible, having their Bible read to them since the moment they were born. It's very similar to what Saul tries to say to David, that he's not experienced enough, that he can't take on this Goliath. But David was someone who certainly knew the truth of his identity, especially in this moment. David knew that they were not merely servants of Saul, as Goliath had called them in verse 8. They were part of the army of the living God. David had seen the Lord deliver them before. He knew that God would do it again. I don't know about you, but I was thinking about it, and I think I would rather face a giant than a bear or lion. A bear or lion just seems a little bit scarier to me. They've got teeth, but maybe that's just some fear I need to work through. So Saul tried to convince David that he was not able to. You see, Saul only saw this battle in the natural. Too often we're not stopping to remember and recognize that it's a spiritual battle we're facing, not a natural one. And it's not so much about what we do or say in the natural, but if you can recognize that it's a spiritual battle, you're already halfway to victory. You then get to partner with God and release his truth and release heaven on earth over every circumstance. So Saul eventually agrees to let David take on this Goliath. And he says, "Go in my armor." And so David tries them on and he responds by saying, "I can't go in these. I'm not used to them." Too often we want to use someone else's armor, or we try to give others our own armor. It's great to have a community that's praying for you. It's great to come to church on a Sunday, but don't let it stop there. We need to have a Monday to Sunday faith. We need to be spending time with the Lord in the hidden place. We need to be pressing in and allowing God to pour in his revelation as we pour out our loves. Sundays are a starting point. Community is great, but it doesn't replace us growing in our identity and learning to take up our helmet of salvation and put on our armor. What are we going to do when it's the middle of the night and you're laying in bed and the enemy is taunting you with constant worries and fears? Are we going to allow the taunts of the enemy to keep us in that place of fear? Or are we going to rise up and say, "Not on my watch"? John 16:33 is maybe there. "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." Are we going to stand with our helmet of salvation on, knowing that God's already won the victory and that we don't have to bow under the weight of the enemy's lies and fear, but stand firm in our identity as children of God, knowing his truth, that when we are given salvation, we receive the helmet of salvation and can stand firm against that? Are we going to pick up our stone and say, even though this taunt feels like a Goliath, I'm going to throw this stone, shutting down the lies of the enemy, and this will be the stone that stops with me? It may have ran in my family, but it stops here today. Every time we do, we are strengthening ourselves in the Lord. We're building history with God and deepening our skills of how to use our armor effectively. And I love what Pastor Dawna De Silva says. She says that we can anoint you, we can prophesy over you, we can hopefully bring healing and miracles, but I can't impart to you my history. David had a history, and this giant was nothing compared to what he'd faced. He knew the history he'd had with God protecting him from the bears and the lions. When trials come our way, we'll be thankful that we have prepared in the hidden place. David, he may not have been used to physical armor, but his spiritual armor was strong. David was building history with God when he was out tending to the sheep. He was also spending time getting his heart right with the Lord, spending time in his presence, allowing the Lord to pour in revelation and grow in his identity. That by the time this trial came, he was already prepared. God wants to prepare our hearts so that when trials do come, it would be like water off of a duck's back, because we know our identity, because we know that it's not us who truly fights the battles, but it's God. David picked up 5 smooth stones and put them in his bag, ready to face Goliath. And Goliath walked out towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. "Am I a dog?" he roared at David, "that you come at me with a stick." And he cursed David by the names of his gods. "Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals," Goliath yelled. But I love David's response. He replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and everyone will know that there is a God in Israel." David knew that God was for him. David knew that the Lord would conquer his enemies. He may not have gone out wearing armor. He may not have carried a sword or a spear, but he carried something much more powerful. He carried his identity, knowing that God was for him. He didn't fight with traditional weapons of warfare. He fought with what he had and what he knew. 2 Corinthians 10:3 to 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." He was able to take his thoughts captive, that when the enemy came, he knew his identity. Do you know your identity? Is your helmet of salvation on and protecting you from the lies of the enemy? I'm not talking so much about circumstances that come our way. I'm talking about the battle of the mind, where the enemy comes and tries to use lies and fear and intimidation against us, that we never step up and into all that God is calling us to. What do you know that you can use in the battle? How are you equipping yourself to trust in your helmet of salvation and identity as a child of God? I've got some keys here. You know, we need to know the Word of God. If we don't know the Word of God, we're not going to recognize when attacks are coming against us. We're not going to know His truth and our identity as children of God. We need to be spending time in the Word, learning His voice. We also need to allow time for God to pour in. You know, Pastor Tim said last week that it's not so much about us loving God more, but about God loving us and us having a revelation of His love. There's many ways that we can spend time with God, but are we simply stopping to pause in His presence, to allow Him to fill us with His truth, to allow him to fill us with his promises and with his identity. And the final key I'd say would be, I encourage you to write down your testimony. Share your testimony with others. David was able to face Goliath because he knew he had a history with God. He was able to look back at those times where God had been there before and able to bring that into the future and stand in confidence. Reaching into his bag, David pulled out a smooth stone and loaded his slingshot, and he hit the Philistine in the head. For 40 days, Goliath had taunted them with fear and intimidation, a battle that was already lost in their heads. And God chose to defeat them, not by sword or spear, but to the very source, a stone to the head, an area he had been attacking for so long. What is it that the enemy, worship team, if we could come up, that would be great. What is it that the enemy has been attacking you with? What is it that the enemy's been taunting you with? What lie have you been believing that has left you in a state of fear? Sometimes fear looks different to what we might think. Sometimes it looks like striving. Sometimes it looks like struggling to connect with others, not feeling like we're part of a group. Sometimes fear can look like apathy and so much more. But more often than not, these things are found in fear. I had a surgery last year, and the enemy tried to come in and taunt me with fear over and over again, as you can imagine. And it's funny, when you close the doors to fear, the enemy will try and be sneaky and come in different ways. And so I had this thought of, what has anyone seen the videos where people wake up from anesthetic and say funny stuff? Yeah? So I had this thought of, the enemy was trying to sow this thought of, what if you wake up and you're not as Christian as you think you are? What if you're not transformed as much as you think you are? Which is absolutely ridiculous. I know that God has done a transformational work in my heart and mind. And I love that God doesn't want to just shut down the lies of the enemy, but he wants to go above and beyond. And when I woke up from the surgery, because I had poured in and put on my helmet of salvation and stood firm, I was surrounded with God's presence. And I remember just being so in awe of his presence and so in awe of his glory. And the nurses were trying to wake me up, but all I could say was, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. Not only did I not say something ridiculous, I said what reflected the transformational work God had done in my heart, but God went above and beyond with the first thing that came out of my mouth, being his glory, reflecting the identity that he's done in my life. I'm believing that for many of you today will be the day that you step up to the line and say, this is the stone that stops with me. This lie has been taunting my family for long enough. I'm not going to avoid this giant any longer. I'm not going to allow the enemy to have ground in my life anymore. That this will not be a giant that is left for my children, my grandchildren, my nieces, my nephews, and the generations to come. But I'm stepping up to the line and saying that I'm picking up my stone, and the stone stops with me. So I'm going to invite you in a moment. We're going to worship together. I'm going to invite you just to think about, what is it that God wants to replace with his identity today? Don't wait for Goliath to step up to the line, but invite you to step up the line and make history with God. I'm not going to come down and pray for each one of you, but if you would like to come up the front and step up and say, no more will the enemy have ground in my life. No more will this taunt be allowed a place in 2025, but it stops here with me.